Hey, give somebody a fist bump beside you. Say, hey, Tennessee didn't lose this weekend. Woo! Yeah. Virginia Tech, not so lucky. Losing to a basketball school. Ouch. Ouch. Hey, how's everybody doing today? We feeling a little rowdy again? You guys were really rowdy last week. I loved it, by the way. I love when you guys get crazy. It is good to be with you today. My name is Derek. If you're a guest, I've met a couple people that the first time here. We welcome you. Our hope today is that you would feel welcome, but more than that, that you would experience the presence of God. We gather around the presence of God. We don't gather around a pastor or a band. We gather around the presence of God, and we believe that's where we find life, right? That's where we find our hope. That's where we find our power to continue to go on. And what we just did is what we call worship. We worship through song. Now, there's a million different ways to worship, but what we just did is we worship through song, and the time we just spent was not about you. It's not about you. The time we just spent singing was actually us making much of Jesus and singing to him. And we, as a team, and specifically Jason and I, we've been trying to learn what do the scriptures say about our first and foremost priority, which is to minister to Jesus. Like, what does that look like for us to minister to God? And that's what we see all throughout the Bible. And so as a church, we're trying to learn what does that look like for when we come in here, for it not to be about me, about singing the songs I want, or about having the right seat, but for me to come here and my attention and my love and my affection is going upward. And what's beautiful about God is when I do that, I actually receive something more than I actually ever gave, right? And so tonight is our bi-monthly encounter night. So you can see the shirt and there's no excuses. You can't say I didn't see it. It's right here, right? Encounter night. And encounter night is a time where we're going to come together as a community at 6 o'clock tonight. And we're going to come together and we're going to sing songs to God. We're going to pray to God. We're going to hear from God. And we're going to do that in community. And really the emphasis of this night, and really every other one, but this night specifically, really is that we would grow in awareness of God. Because when we're in God's presence, literally everything is possible. Everything is possible. Healing is possible. Breaking patterns are possible. Newness of life are possible. Innovation is possible when we're in the presence of God. And so tonight, if you're coming at 6 o'clock tonight, I want you to come with the expectation that you're going to encounter God tonight in a very real way. And I believe it's going to be a really special evening as we gather together in unity under the name of Jesus and enjoy his presence and pray not only for one another, but also for our city and for our region. I want to see you here tonight. As I said last week, man, we live in an incredible part of the country, and we are extremely blessed that there are so many life-giving, Jesus-loving churches in this region. Like, there are so many in Northeast Tennessee, and we are honored to be one of those. And we love to partner with those to see the kingdom of God come in a million different ways. But what we believe is that the kingdom of God, the rule and reign of God, it is a very diverse kingdom. In this room, every single one of us is different, and that's a really healthy thing. And we believe that every church is also created to be unique. That there's a uniqueness in our church compared to another church, compared to another church across the country, that God is doing something specific in our body that may not be happening somewhere else. And so as a church, we bless the other churches in our region. We love to partner with them. We honor them. But we believe every church has a lane to run in. And we believe here at Christ Fellowship that God has given us a lane to run in. And it's really where our vision comes from, which is to equip and empower individuals to be all that God designed us to be. That's what we're about. That's the lane that we're running in, that what our vision is, what our long-term goal is to equip, to prepare, to teach up, to train up, and then to empower, to encourage, to help people see that their life is more than just showing up on a Sunday morning, that God wants to engage with them all the time and to empower people to go be all that he designed them to be. And as they are who God has made them, what happens is that overflows into what they do. And you take your identity, your design, everywhere you go. And as you do, you actually become and do what God has called you to not only be, but also to do. Now, as one of my wise friends said this weekend, that his company had a vision. It was a big vision, but he said that's not what we do every day, but the mission is what we do every day. And so our vision is to equip and empower, but our mission is what we do day in and day out. What do we do on a weekly basis? What do we do to make decisions based on our church? What are we trying to accomplish in the day-to-day as we go towards this vision. And this is our mission. It is to cultivate a community that is continually transformed by the power of the Spirit as we hear his voice, walk in freedom, and live out our God-given identity everywhere we go. Everywhere we go. And we said that their vision and our mission really are aligned with Jesus. And when we look at the life of Jesus, what do we see? We see a man walking the earth who was fully God but fully man, and he lived rightly, perfectly, rightly connected to the Father. There was no separation between the Father and Jesus. At all times, Jesus was walking in truth. He heard the Father. He listened and he spoke. He was never disconnected from the Father, always in one with the Father. And what's amazing to me is not only is Jesus our Savior, but he's also our model. And what he prayed for us in John 17 is so incredible. He prayed that we would experience what he had on earth. That perfectly connected to the Father, he prayed that for you and me. And he said this, he said, Father, I pray not just for those that are here, but for those that are going to believe on account of them, that they would be one just as you and I are one. Does that like take your breath away? That Jesus prayed that you and I would be one with the Father just as he and the Father were as he walked this earth. That's profound. That's his desire for every one of us. And as we look at the life of Jesus in the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, we begin to learn some things about how did Jesus live perfectly connected, perfectly related to the Father. And I've showed you this diagram last week, and this is what we see as I think Jesus modeled for us what it looks like to live in perfect communion with the Father, being loved, loving him, loving ourselves, and loving others. It's these three things. First, it's living in community. When Jesus walked the earth, he had friends. He had his three core friends. He had 12 other friends. And then he had a lot of other acquaintances all around him. People that came in and out of his life. And so he lived in community. But he also lived in community with the Father, first and foremost. Fully connected to the Father. And so as we follow the model of Jesus, we want to live fully connected to the Father. But we also want to live in community with one another. We want to cultivate this kind of community here. We want to live out the one another's here in the context of our church. To love one another. To forgive one another, to give grace to one another, to encourage one another, and there's a whole lot more. We want to cultivate that kind of community. And as we do that, we see three areas that Jesus modeled for us that we want to equip our church to walk out and to live out. And number one is that we want to be able to hear God. When Jesus walked the earth, he was fully dependent on the Father's voice. He said, I only say what the Father says. This is Jesus. And so if he was dependent on the Father's voice as our model, we also want to learn how to discern the will of God, to hear his voice so that we can walk it out on this earth. And as we hear the voice of God, we see Jesus, and he lived in complete freedom. As I said last week, he lived unoffended. Anybody get offended this week at some point? Anybody else besides me get offended? Come on, right? Jesus, if he was walking your life, he wouldn't have got offended when you and I got offended. He was lived unoffended because he was free. And he was free because everything he believed about his Father, everything he believed about himself was rooted in truth. And what does truth do for us, church? Where does truth do? It sets us free every time. You know you're not in truth when you feel bondage. So truth, it always sets us free. And Jesus never had a moment where he was believing something false about the Father or about himself. And because of that, there was no separation. Which is why Jesus came to die for us, to remove that separation so that we could be one with the Father through him, right? So beautiful. Jesus wants you to be freer tomorrow than you are today. Anybody agree with that? He wants you to be free, and we as a church, we're learning how to actually walk in that. It's one thing to be free. As we said, Jesus died to give us freedom. It's another thing to actually live, to learn to walk in that freedom, right? And so it's not only freedom, though, but this last one is identity. See, Jesus knew who he was, and he knew what the Father said about him. So everything he did came from this place as I am a beloved son in whom the Father is well pleased. Everything Jesus did, all the miracles, all the sermons he preached, all the deliverances he did it from a place of identity. And so today, this is where I want to wrap up this series. As we finish up this vision and mission we are, is I want to look at identity. And I want to talk about that. And then what do we do with this community, with hearing, freedom, identity? What do we do with that, all right? Now, this word identity is a word that is used all over the place. It's a really popular word right now in politics, in pop culture, in most every sphere of society. You'll hear the word identity in some form or fashion. And most of the time, When we talk about identity, we're talking about what we do. Now, if you go to work Monday and you ask somebody, hey, who are you? First, before they get over their offense of you dare asking them a question and looking them in the eye, they'll finally answer and they'll probably give you a list of the things they do. I work here. I've got this kind of family. I do this thing. I do these things. And so I think there's a lot of confusion around the word identity. And so today I want us to get all on the same page. When we say identity, what does that mean? And so if you're taking notes, I'd love you to write this definition down. That your identity, it is the blueprint in the heart of God when he created you, by which he longs to reveal his nature uniquely on the earth. Now that's a lot of words, so I'm going to leave it up there a second. I'm going to say it again. That when I say the word identity, this is what I mean. That your identity, my identity, is the blueprint in the heart of God when he thought you up and created you. And the purpose of him thinking you up and creating you is that you would reveal him on this earth in a unique way that nobody else can. We reference Genesis chapter 1. It says that you and I are made in the image of who? God. And in his likeness. That he has made you with a unique identity that nobody ever has had, nobody ever will have. Only you can be that. And we want to be a church that helps you and equips you to be all that God designed you to be, which is identity. Now here's the crazy thing about identity is that we can easily find our identity in the things we do, like I said earlier. And let me just give you a few references. Many times we find our identity in our place of work or in our salary. And listen, it's really good to love what you do and to be bought in. I'm not saying not do that. But it's another thing when we find our identity in that thing, because this is what happens. One day, God willing, you're going to retire. And somebody said amen to that, right? Or one day you're going to choose to leave that company, or heaven forbid, you might be asked nicely to leave that company. And when that happens, guess what happens if your identity is in that role, in that company? It's broken. It's not there anymore, right? Or I think about if we put our identity in relationships. You know, I love this person, or I'm a great friend of this person, and I find my identity in this role, in my relationship. And unfortunately, we live in a broken world, right? That's not, you know, pretty captain obvious. So sometimes those relationships, they don't last the test of time and they break. And so if my identity was in that relationship and that breaks, guess what happens to my identity? It's broken. Or as parents, this is the one I deal with all the time, and we really fight against this, but as parents, it's really, really easy and actually expected nowadays that as parents, we find our identity in our kids, and not just in our kids, but how they perform. And so out of insecurity, and I'm telling you this, we struggle with this. I'm not talking down to you. I'm just saying, out of our insecurity, what do? We sign our kids up for every possible sport, every possible instrument, every possible voice lesson, and tutoring a lot of the week. And when our kids are doing great, we feel great in life. Man, we are great parents. But the moment they have a mess up, which by the way, every adult in this room has had a mess up. Come on. Guess what that means to your kids? Your kids are going to mess up one day. Your kids are not going to be perfect. I'm sorry. Now, if there's kids in the room, you're perfect. You're perfect. God loves you. But you're not perfect, all right? But as parents, if we put our identity in the performance of our kid and our kid chooses something that we don't like or doesn't hit the grade I like, our identity can be lost. Or when we get to the point where a kid graduates and goes off to vocational school or goes starts a company or goes to work for somebody or goes to college, which, by the way, is the hope of parenting, raising and release, not raising and coddling. Amen to that. What happens to parents if their identity was in their kids is when their kids fly the roost, they're empty nesters, they look at each other and say, who are we? Who are you? And you know what happens oftentimes in that setting? Divorce. You know why that happens? Not because the kids left, because your identity was in something temporary. And when that thing is no longer there, you don't know who you are. And I would say for students, there's a lot of students in the room. I see you, whether it's college or elementary or middle school or high school. If you find your identity in how you perform at school, your parents may give you a great, good job. But listen, there's going to be a day where you may not get the grade you thought you needed to get. You may not have studied the right thing for that test, and you might have got a grade that you didn't want to get. And so in that moment, if your identity was in your performance as a student, guess what? It's broken. And God doesn't want you to place your identity in anything temporary. I need you to hear that. His desire for you, my desire as your pastor, is that you would not place your identity in anything that is temporary. Because if that thing is removed, guess what? You're without identity. And that's not how God created you. Now, I don't believe you can lose your identity, because how can you lose something that God wired into you as he created you? You can't lose it, but we can actually reject our identity, and we can definitely let it get hidden. And so we as a church, we want you to know your identity, because you can't be all that God designed you to be unless you know who God designed you to be. I want you to hear that. That sounds super simple, but it's really, really important. Like, for us to fulfill the vision that God has given us, to be all that God designed us to be, we have to first know who has God made us to be. And once we understand that, then we can begin to live out who he made us to be. But if I don't know, I can't be that thing that he made me to be. Now, when I say the word identity, there's really twofold. It's two pieces. It's a general identity, but then there's also a very specific identity. So I want to start out with general identity. If you're taking notes, right? General identity. General identity is the identity we receive as we place our faith in Jesus. Let me give you a couple verses here. This is 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 17. It says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. Anybody excited about that verse? Is anybody excited that the past you, the old you, is dead and gone, and now the new you is here? Anybody else excited that God has forgotten your sin, has taken it as far as the east is from the west, and never is going to dig it up again? Anybody else in here excited about that? Like that's what we see right here in the scripture. The old you is dead, and my wife is so thankful for that. Now, that old man likes to still show up a little bit, but listen, it was dead. Now I'm learning to live alive, right? And so you are free. You have been set free. And as a new creation, you have a new identity. Let me just give you a taste of what that new identity is. This is 1 Peter 2:9. If you're a follower of Jesus, this applies to you today. And this is good news. He says, but you are a chosen race. Listen, God chose you. God chose you. You are a royal priesthood. Did you know that you're royalty? You have a royal lineage, a royal bloodline. His name is Jesus, the King of Kings. You're a new creation. You're a holy nation. Holy, you are wholly set apart. You are a people for his own possession. God wants you, he desires you, he wants to be with you. That you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into this marvelous light. Listen, if you have placed your faith in Jesus, you are a new creation. The old is gone. You're no longer an enemy of God, you're a friend of God. You're no longer destined for death, you're destined for eternal life. And your identity has changed. All of our identity has changed. And so we have this common inheritance as a new creation in Christ, that we are now part of the family of God. And what the Father has is now ours. Man, if we could understand that. And so as a church, we want to help people start living from that reality of this common identity, this general identity. Who am I in Christ? And as I live it out of that place, man, so much is possible. But we also believe that there is a specific identity, a very unique identity that every single one of us has different, every one of us, because we're made in the image of God, all uniquely made. And this specific identity can't be found in a book. It can't be told to you by a pastor or some spiritual leader. This identity, this kingdom identity, can only be received through relationship with God as we hear his voice. And so for me, a couple years ago, probably 4 or 5 years ago, I was learning more and more about hearing God and started to learn about identity. And so I'm sitting down, I'm taking some notes, I'm reading the scriptures, and I asked the Lord, God, what do you call me? Who am I? Really, it was an identity question. Who am I? What do you say about me? And what I wrote down has really shaped my life. He said, you're my path blazer. So I wrote it down, path blazer, and I began to study and learn, what does that mean that God calls me his path blazer? And as I studied the scriptures, as I spent time in prayer asking the Lord, I came to a realization that my identity in the kingdom of God as his child is to blaze paths for people to go where they have never gone before, to take organizations, groups of people into places and take new ground and then invite others to follow. This is my identity in the kingdom. This is who I am, who God made me to be. And as I learned that, I began to look back in the past and say, wow, like, that's so who I've been all my life. When I was an engineer working at a chemical manufacturing, and they asked me to go into a manufacturing area that was struggling and that needed some capital improvements and needed some change in the culture, guess who they asked? They asked me to come in to bring that change. You know why? Because I'm a path blazer. They didn't even know it, but they saw who I was. Then in business, I was asked to come into a business that was losing money every month. Culture was terrible. Staff was just there's turnover after turnover. They asked me to come in to bring about some health in the staff and to take this non-profitable thing, which, by the way, God is not opposed to profit. Can we just say amen to that? All the business and the owners in the room, can you get an extra amen to that, right? Like, you can't feed your family without profits. God is not opposed to profit. And so I was asked to come into this place that was hemorrhaging money every month, and they asked me to come in to get it to where it was actually profitable. And so I stepped in and started working with the team and the staff, started changing our sales approach, and got the place to where it was actually profitable. You know why? Because that's my identity. I loved it. I had a pathblazer. And then when I was told about this church about 2.5, 3 years ago, I heard about the church and talked to a guy and said, hey, you need to apply for this. This sounds like you. And as I came up here to visit, seems like years and years ago, it wasn't that long ago, we sat down with the board of directors, we sat down with our staff, we sat down with the selection committee, and what they told me is that they loved what God has done in this church. Loved, loved, loved what God has done over the 30 plus years of this church. But they felt like there was a season of change. And the two things they said they wanted to see changed in our body, Christ Fellowship, was that they wanted to come more aligned with being a church that fully embraced the Spirit of God. And not just in our theology, but in our practice. And they also said, we don't want to be a church that just gathers together. We want to be a church that goes into the community and has more and more influence. And I said, that sounds like a pathblazer to me. And you know what? Those two things I'm really passionate about. And so because of that, because I knew who God has made me to be, the opportunity was there. There were other opportunities that were like, nope, not me, not me, not me. But this one, if they want to be changed, if they want to see some transformation, if they want to go where they haven't gone before, guess what? I'm their guy. And so I said, yeah, if you guys want me, I'll come. And y'all voted, so I'm sorry. Y'all got me, right? Pathblazer. Yeah. Appreciate the love. And so here's the deal. Like, I knew I wasn't going to a place that said, hey, we just want to stay the same for the next 30 years. We like where we are. We want to stay the same. If y'all would have told me that, I would have been like, I love what God's doing. I'm not going to go there. Because that's not who I am. I would have been in a fetal position just dying. But because the leadership of the church said, we want to change. We have some transformation. We want to see some different things in our church. I said, sign me up, because that's who God made me to be. That's who I am. And so we as a church, we want to help people know, who does God call you to be? And so we've got all kinds of opportunities. Whether it's the I Know class, whether it's our Kingdom Foundation class, or you begin to hear about this general and specific identity, whether it's in small group or our prayer time or our encounter night tonight, we want to help people know who God calls them. Now you may say, Derek, that sounds really good, but that doesn't sound very biblical. Well, hold on there a little bit, because I want you to turn to Judges. Old Testament, turn to Judges, all right? Now, we could go through list after list about people that encountered God and heard their identity and it changed their life, but I just want to look at one today. And this is the story of Gideon. Now, this is in the book of Judges, and Israel had been oppressed by this group of people called the Midianites. They'd been taking their food and robbing them, and so it's not a good season for Israel. And in chapter 6 of Judges, we meet this guy named Gideon, all right? So his people were oppressed, things not looking good, and this is where we find him in verse 11. It says, now the angel of the Lord came and sat under the terebinth at Ophrah, which belonged to Joash the Abiezrite, while his son Gideon was beating out wheat in the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him, the Lord is with you, O mighty man of valor. And Gideon said to him, please, my Lord, if the Lord is with us, why then has all this happened to us? Anybody ever said that? God, why is this all happening to me? Anybody else besides me and my wife said that before? And then he goes on, he says, why has this happened to us? And where are all your wonderful deeds that our fathers recounted to us, saying, did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? Anybody ever said, man, God, why are you so generous to that family and not me? God, why is this person blessed and not me? Anybody else besides me ever have this thought? Or am I just that bad of a person, right? You know you have. And that can be really bad, or it can be really good. When we take that and say that to God, it can be really good. Because you know what that's called? Confession. Telling God what we perceive to be true. And that's really good if we let God tell us what is really true. It's really bad if we just confess and just walk away. But if we say, God, this is what I feel like, and then we ask him what is really true, it's really good. So look on. He says, but now the Lord has forsaken us and given us into the hand of Midian. And the Lord turned to him and said, go in this might of yours and save Israel from the hand of Midian. Do not I send you? And he said to him, please, Lord, how can I save Israel? Behold, my clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I'm the least in my father's house. And the Lord said to him, but I will be with you, and you shall strike down the Midianites as one man. It's a beautiful picture of identity, because here's what happened. Gideon was living out of a false identity. So Gideon was thinking, oh, woe is me. What did he say? We are the worst tribe and I'm the lowest in my house. And so we see Gideon, he's living a life where he is just trying not to mess up. He's living a life trying to stay below the radar. He's living a life trying to be hidden. And I think many of us can relate to that this morning. We just don't want to mess up. Don't get our head up. We don't want to see him. Let's just pay the bills. Let's just keep on going. It's the same old, and nothing changes in our life. You're not alive. We have no hope. Just like Gideon. Oh, woe is me. Woe is me. And he's living out of a false identity that he is the lowest of the lowest of the lowest. And he's found hiding, trying to hide food from his enemy. And in that moment, the angel of the Lord comes in. Now, I believe the angel of the Lord, most of the time in the scripture, is actually Jesus himself. So the angel of the Lord comes in. And you know what he doesn't say to Gideon? Gideon, you're such a lousy person. You're so lazy. You're a loser. Why are you down here hiding? You know, God never speaks like that. Gideon, get your act together. What are you doing? You should be doing something else with your life. You're so terrible. God never speaks like that, although we sometimes attribute that to him when it's usually the enemy. You know what God tells Gideon? As he's hiding, as he's operating in a false identity, oh, mighty man of valor. Gideon's like, me? Me? Do you see what I'm doing? I'm hiding from my enemy, just trying to keep our food safe. And God's like, you're my mighty man of valor. Yes, I don't make mistakes. You know what? God never speaks to us in our false identities. He only speaks to us in our true identity. And so he created Gideon from his mother's womb, knit him together to be a mighty man of valor. So he shows up on the scene and says, where's my mighty man of valor? Where's your might? And Gideon hears this and something comes alive and he's like, no, you got the wrong guy. This is who I am. This is what my past tells me. You know what's gonna rob you from living in your identity? Your past. You know what else robs you from living in your identity? What other people speak of your life that you allow to stick to you. You know what else will rob you from your identity? Where you look at your track record, failure, 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 and you begin to believe you're your failure. And when you do that, you're gonna live a quiet little life settling for less than God has for you. Just like Gideon was about to do. But he heard the voice of God saying, mighty man of valor, mighty man of valor. And you know what happened? Is in this moment, Gideon became alive. And here's what I know, is that we can only begin to be all that God designed us to be when we begin to see ourselves as God sees us. Listen, if we don't see ourselves as God sees us, we're gonna live lives that are less than what God has for us. We're going to check down to just stay in this cycle of habits or this just checking down to something that's easy and not actually do the things that God has made us to do if we don't see ourselves as God does. And so Gideon, in this moment, he hears the voice of God. You are my mighty man of valor. And something happens. He begins to see himself as God does. And you know what Gideon does? He goes and he gathers his group of warriors and he's ready to fight. And God says, hey, you know what? You got way too many guys. Way too many guys. They're all going to look at your numbers and they're going to think you did it. And so here's what I want you to do. I want you to cut about half of them out, send them back home. I want you to get to 10,000. And Gideon's like, all right, we'll do that. I'm a mighty man of valor. We'll do that. And then God's like, no, way too many guys. You know what? Do something else. And then I want you to get down to 300 warriors. And with that 300 warriors, Gideon goes, and he brings salvation to Israel as they take out the Midianites. You know why he was able to do that? Because he began to see himself as God does. And he began to live out his God-given identity. This is why it's so important that we hear from God and know who he is. Generally, what is our inheritance, but also specifically, what is God called us to do? Now, I want you to see something. When we see Gideon, he hears this, the mighty man of valor. He begins to live that out. But he didn't hear that mighty man of valor and just sit there and say, oh, I'm so glad that I'm the mighty man of valor. Look at me, people. You know what he did? He began to live it out. See, all the things that we talk about learning, all these things, it is not for you just to have in your internal. It is actually to do something with it. This is what we see Jesus do with his disciples. Mark chapter 16, the end of Jesus' life, he gives this incredible testimony or commandment. He says this. He says, go. Go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole nation. Everybody say go. You know, he said, go. Go. And then we see Matthew 28. We see at the end of it's the Great Commission. Jesus says, I have all authority in heaven and on earth. It's been given to me. Now go, therefore, and make disciples. Baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teach them all that I've taught you. And listen, I am never going to leave you. I'm going to be with you till the end of the age. This next slide shows us a picture of what it looks like. Why do we care about community? Why do we care about hearing God? Why do we care about walking in freedom? Why do we care about our identity? Because it takes us somewhere. I think we're going to have this next slide here. This is what we're about as a church. This is what we're about at church. We are in community with God and one another. Then we hear God, we walk in freedom, and we live our identity, not to stay in this church, but to go. To go. You say, go where? Go everywhere. Coffee shop? Yeah, you take you. Your workplace, your school, you go and be you. Because Jesus, when he had his disciples, he equipped them and he empowered them and he gathered them together to teach them like this, but it wasn't the end game. The end game was to gather them, to equip them and empower them, but then for them to scatter. That's what we see Jesus do. This was the heart of Jesus. This is how he raised up his disciples. And we want to be the same thing. Listen, I'm not into spiritual entertainment. That's not why I'm your pastor. That's not why I left Houston to come up here to spiritually entertain into me. I am here as your pastor to equip you and to empower you for you to be all that God has designed you to be everywhere you go. Listen, you need to know my heart. I am not into building a big church. Now, I think the byproduct of a healthy, functioning organization is that it grows. And so I would encourage you, you should be inviting your friends here to experience what God's doing here. You should be. But my hope is not to fill up every seat in all the services and have some big building. That's not my hope. You want to know my hope as your pastor is that we have people experiencing community with God and one another, learning to hear his voice, walking in freedom, and living out their God-given identity, that are coming together, enjoying his presence, encouraging one another. And then guess what? We are going everywhere we go. We're going to Kingsport. We're going to Johnson City, we're going to Bristol, and everywhere in between. We're going into our neighborhoods, we're going into our workplaces, we're going into our schools, and as we do, we're allowing the kingdom of God to be known, to be known. This is what we're about as a church. This is what we see Jesus do, man. He equipped and empowered them as they gathered together, but then he sent them out to go, to go, to go. And this is a heart for this church, this is a heart for you, and we believe through that, our region can be transformed. Our homes can be transformed. Your family can be transformed. Your life can be transformed, because this is what I've come to see, is that healed people help others to be healed. Alive people help others to experience real life. Transformed people actually bring transformation to others. And people that are loved, only then can they actually help others be loved. And this is the heart of the church, that as we're transformed individually and as a corporate gathering, that we would then go and we would bring that same hope, that same life, everywhere we go in our community. So I want to ask you this question as I close up. Where are you going? Where are you going this week? What sphere of influence has God given you? Because wherever you're going, I want you to know something. God is already at work there. And his desire for you is that his kingdom, his rule and reign would be known wherever you're going this week. Here's the thing. As your pastor, I don't have access to your classroom. As your pastor, I can't go down the manufacturing line and be with those guys and gals working on the line. As your pastor, I can't get into certain areas of the country that you can get into, other countries I can't get into. Listen, God has given you influence. God has given you relationships. He's given you positions of authority for you to leverage that for the glory of Jesus, for you to be all that God designed you to be everywhere you go. This is God's heart for you, and this is what we're doing as a church. And so this morning, before we sing one last song as an anthem over who we are as a global church, we want to take a second and we want to pray over our neighborhoods and over our workplaces. And so I'm going to invite you just to close your eyes, and we're going to just pray together. as a family, as a community. So right now, I just want you to think about your where you stay, whether it's a house, apartment, a trailer park, or any kind of community, wherever you reside, I want you to think about that area. And I want you to thank God that he's already there working. Just right now, just thank God that he's already there working in your neighborhood. And then I just want you to ask God to help you see how you can join him in bringing hope, bringing life, developing real community, that you would see the kingdom of God in your own neighborhood, where you live, the people you see, your neighbors, your literal neighbors. And then just ask God to bless your neighborhood, whatever that is, wherever you live. Just ask God to pour out his blessing. And then think about where you spend a lot of your time. Most of us, a majority of our time, is spent at work. And so think about your workplace. If you're retired, think about where you spend most of your time. If you're in between jobs, think about what all you're doing, or maybe your future occupation, your future job. And I just want you to thank God once again. We're going to lead with thanksgiving. Thank God that he is already working at your workplace. And then I want you to pray a blessing, which may be really hard, over your authority at your workplace. Maybe it's your boss, your supervisor, the owner of the company. I just want you to pray blessing over those people, that you would be a blessing to them. And then lastly, I want us to pray over our region, because I don't know if you've seen the news, but you know, we're some reports coming in that, man, things aren't as good as we'd like it to be economically, and some directional things that are happening, and we don't deny those realities. They are real. They are what they are, but I believe God's heart is to see the Tri-Cities prosper in every area, every area. I believe that he wants to use his people to bring transformation, to bring hope, to bring innovation, to bring opportunities for bettering lives and bettering jobs here in this community through his people. And so we just want to pray blessing on the Tri-Cities right now. So just pray right now that God's blessing and favor would be poured out on the Tri-Cities, that we would see his kingdom come, that we would see businesses prosper, that we would see schools function at a high level, that we'd see government lead with integrity and honor for the people and not for their own agendas. And so, Lord, we just say yes. We just bless you. We bless you, Jesus. We bless the Tri-Cities. Thank you that this is our home. Thank you that this is the place where you've called us to be, where you've called us to express your kingdom, to be all that you designed us to be. Lord, help us this week to live empowered by your Spirit in a way that would bring about transformation, would bring heaven to earth wherever we go, every place we go. It's in your name we pray, Jesus. Amen.